They had street cred, they names might be D-Nice and C-Money, but since they don't, and since they just pasty ghostly white folk, here Derek Knight and Colin Burton, the son of cheese, have our power hour.
Yes, holy shit, it's Wednesday again, and Christ, we're about to hit you with yet another half-assed podcast. I'm Derek Knight from sonofcheese.com, with me as always. You know, sometimes I wonder why he keeps coming around, all the abuse he takes, but it's our red-bearded friend, it's Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
You say I have to keep coming back.
That's right. Keep it up, and you'll get the cracker when we're done. Colin's girlfriend, Heather, living in sin and fornicating all day. Come on. What's it? It's Heather. Hallelujah, fornication. Heather from Mad and Spam, my sister.
Hi.
Hi. And Justin Carmichael from Emerald Hierophant.blogspot.com, the Jew Warrior.
Shalom, my peeps.
Shalom. And that's it, right? Oh, wait, no!
I'm here. The starving poet.
Jenny Valentine, poet extraordinaire, is still with us and going to offer some expertise on today's topic. And kids, I know that some of you out there have a working knowledge of what we're going to talk about. All you have to do is admit it. And it's professional wrestling. It's something that I enjoyed when I was in elementary school, even though I grew up neither in the South nor in a trailer park. Although I did, for a time, have a Confederate flag in my bedroom, but that's neither here nor there. Apparently, I'm just in touch with my inner redneck. But anyhow, yes, in the glory days of the WWF, which I personally consider to be the 1980s, pro wrestling was king in my mind, and the king of the wrestling promotions was indeed the WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, with that panda logo. No, I'm sorry, it's the World Wrestling Federation, which the World Wildlife Fund, I think, eventually sued into becoming the WWE. But for my money, WrestleMania 2 was probably the most awe-inspiring spectacle I saw as a very young lad. King Kong Bundy versus Hulk Hogan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was something. It was just something that I can't explain it, but there was a clear division back then between the good guys and the bad guys. There were some great personalities. My personal favorite was Rowdy Roddy Piper, so much so that I was Rowdy Roddy Piper for Halloween in 1985. Instead of a kilt, though, I went to Goodwill, and I think I just got a one of those plaid schoolgirl skirts.
And you never felt so pretty since.
Oh, man, you kidding? I felt so pretty that day. But
did you paint one side of your body? Because he did that sometimes, too.
No.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're not a
thanks
fan.
Thanks for bringing that up. But, no, in fact, for a number of years, my vocation of choice was to be a pro wrestler when I grew up. I was really seriously thinking about working towards that goal, except for that whole lifting weights thing, because I never much cared for that. Which is actually, it's probably a good thing I didn't, because the guys now are freaking huge.
They're dying off like flies.
Well, they're dying off because they're all, you know, roided up, and they got the roid rage. And I don't mean hemorrhoid rage. I mean steroid rage. I mean the no kidding roid rage. But I was completely gay for pro wrestling when I was a kid. And yeah, you hear about the backyard wrestling. We did that. We did that. In fact, we did it. I built a ring in my backyard with three trees and a clothesline pole with some ropes. And we videotaped this. There is video of this somewhere, unfortunately.
It's at my house, and I wish we could attach the video to this cast, because
it's just
you
the worst,
popping that little kid in the nose
is
the
funniest
worst
thing. Possible thing you'll ever see. Imagine a fat kid with an afro beating up on a skinny kid in gym shorts. Just any gym shorts. I mean the tight sex offender gym shorts that were so popular in the 1980s.
You know what the best part of that was, though? Was Grandma and Grandpa Whittergren were visiting, and
yes,
Grandpa
they were the
used
audience.
The chair on you. And
well,
he tried.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm glad it didn't get closer, because he is the same person who killed that goat with the shovel.
That's right.
You want me to take him out back and kill him with a shovel? That's my grandfather right there. That would get professional wrestling. I mean, it was sweeping the nation back in the 80s. Remember, Saturday Night Main Event took over the airwaves and got better ratings than Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. It was the wave of the future. And then somewhere in junior high, I stopped watching. So anybody in the room that is still watching, maybe you can fill me in on what's going on.
The McMahons are still kind of evil.
Ed McMahon?
Yep.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
I didn't know he was still alive.
What's his name? Kennedy McMahon.
No, Mr. Kennedy is somebody else.
Vince Kennedy McMahon. Hmm. Yeah. Hulk Hogan is
kind
of retired.
I have seen his reality show.
Oh, love Hulk. Love Hulk.
Terry Bollea, his name. And you know, apparently he started out as a bad guy in his career, but then he turned good guy, beat the Iron Sheik, one of my favorites, for the... for the WWF title and never looked back.
Yeah, one of my favorite story arcs ever was when Hulk Hogan and Tugboat teamed up against the Earthquake.
I miss the Tugboat.
Do you remember that? An Earthquake, like, broke Hulk's spine, and Hulk was in the hospital. I actually cried. I was so little.
I can one-up you on that. I saw the pro wrestling several times live, but one time in particular, I saw it at the old Broadmoor Royal Arena from the front row. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was wrestling the Earthquake, a big motherfucking Canadian. And the Earthquake was hit with the 2x4 and rolled out of the ring and landed right in front of me.
Ooh.
And I couldn't help myself. I leaned over and flicked him in the head.
Oh, my God.
The security people went nuts. He looked at me like, Jesus, kid! Because that was probably the hardest he got hit all night. And somehow, I didn't get kicked out for leaning over and flicking a 450-pound man right in the side of the head. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't look like much, but I got really strong fingers. I guarantee he felt that shit. He felt that, but he's the Earthquake is dead now.
I believe so.
The Earthquake died, I believe.
It was a brain aneurysm. And it's all
an embolism. The girl who was supposed to be here died in a pool. But no, yeah, an embolism popped in his brain. And no, I think it was cancer. There is a site you can go to. If you're obsessed with wrestling, it's called obsessedwithwrestling.com.
Yes. Okay.
And you can get the bios of all of these wrestlers that you grew up idolizing and find out that they're just like you. They're just hacks, just like you or me. Most of them come from Canada if they don't come from the Deep South. It's amazing.
The Hart Foundation
is from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Because the father, Hart, was a big, he was big time in the pro, he was a pro wrestler himself, but he was big time in the promotion. The Calgary Stampede was utilized as a huge promotional vehicle for professional wrestling in the 60s and the 70s, and that's where a lot of actually the big names came out of that ended up in the WWF, which of course was the premier promotion. There were other smaller promotions, if you'll remember, in the 80s. The AWA, the Road Warriors, were the tag team champions, and the NWA Nature Boy Ric Flair was the champion of,
The Georgia promotion?
Just down south wrestling. Mudlot wrestling.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But yeah, there was so there's the smaller circuits in the south. It was amazing. You know, I mean, being out here in the west, you don't get that. You know, there's just not a population density that supports things like that. But yeah, all through the south, that's where these people came from. They developed, you know, they started out as never what they ended up as, you know, whatever their character was. They always went through very different incarnations. And it's amazing to look at this obsessedwithwrestling.com and think back, Jesus Christ, I believed that. What a sucker I am.
Yeah.
But
my favorite tag team of all time were the Bushwhackers.
Oh, my God.
You remember that?
They didn't have any teeth.
They did their little dance. Oh, they're cool. I'm waiting for them to come back. I heard they own a restaurant in Florida.
Do you know who my favorite tag team of all time was?
Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik.
No!
No,
although that's,
really?
That's Axe and Smash! Demolition!
I love Demolition, oh my God. I loved them.
As it turns out, they were just two fat middle-aged guys in makeup.
I know.
Does that make me completely gay or
but
what?
They were so cool. You know who my favorite tag team
is? Well, it would be the Hart Foundation with Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Bret the Hitman Hart. Woo! Of course, Bret Hart now co-owner of the Calgary Hitmen, it's a junior hockey franchise, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Jim the Anvil Neidhart, you know, I'll tell you what, kids. Justin, who is your favorite professional wrestler? You fill some time while I look up Jim Neidhart and see
what
he's up to.
I want to see what he's doing.
Boy, for me, it all depends on the promotion.
It's my chair. Stop looking at me like I farted.
Well, no, it sounds like you're strumming a guitar.
Badly.
For WWF, I know this is going to sound really, really weird, but Abdullah the Butcher.
You know what? I loved Abdullah the Butcher because I wanted him to kick Hulk Hogan's ass. And he never could, but he was always so freaky and fat.
And he used the fork.
Well, let me write
He'd
this down.
He'd always
pull
the fork out of his shorts, and he owns a...
Wouldn't that suck? That's your gimmick. You got to carry a fork in your shorts. Fuck.
Damn it.
He owns a very successful barbecue chain up in Georgia, actually, and it's one of my goals, before I die, to go eat at Abdullah the Butcher's barbecue, because I hear it's really good. For Japanese wrestling, Michinoku Pro, which is where they wear a whole lot of masks, and it's actually more respected, much like the Mexican lucha libre. Is respected for that. I would have to say.
Okay, before we go any further, I will find out more
Ultimo
about
Dragon.
More about the Abdullah the Butcher character. But Jim the Anvil Neidhart, his real name, Heather, is
Jim Neidhart.
Jim Neidhart, crazy. Originally from Tampa, Florida, lives in Calgary, Alberta, but he was billed to be from where? Do you remember where they said he was from? Reno, Nevada.
Why?
I don't know. That's just how it worked. He is 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighed in at 281 pounds, made his debut in 1979. His previous gimmicks include Who, Anvil Flattener. No, just Who. He was a wrestler called Who.
Oh, dear.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Notable feuds. Notable feuds include the Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees!
I forgot about them.
And the British Bulldogs.
Oh, the British Bulldogs made me sad.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, he's in semi-retirement. The last entry here... okay.
Come on!
The last entry, November 23rd, 2005, Jim Neidhart appeared in court on charges of driving impaired and refusing to give a roadside breath sample.
Anvil.
So he's in he is in semi-retirement. You wrestling every now and then in the Prairie Wrestling Alliance with his daughter Natty Neidhart.
Oh, good for
Can
him.
I tell you a funny story about his name?
Please do.
Okay. You know how obsessed I was with Bret Hart?
Oh, when please. We were growing up. I know.
So we were driving along one day. It was just Mom and I in the car, and all of a sudden my mom goes, Mom said, Heather, do you realize that if you marry Bret Hart and you kept your maiden name, you could be Heather Neidhart? Ha ha ha! This is the kind of humor
this was also the same person who said that her two favorite wrestlers were Mr. Wonderful and Paul Orndorff.
Yes, that's right. Yes, she loved those two so much.
And for you kids not in the know, they were the same person.
But yeah, every time I think of Jim Neidhart, that's what I think of, his mom and her, you know, if you marry Bret Hart.
Right. So great. Abdullah the Butcher, his birth name, Lawrence Shreve. He was born November 2nd, 1936... in Windsor, Ontario.
Wow, I didn't realize he was so old.
6 feet tall, 360 pounds. He debuted, Justin, in 1958. The same year that Elvis hit the charts with probably something. But we're talking about 1958. He hit the professional wrestling circuit as Pussycat Pickens.
He stays strong.
That's my new stage name.
He also, previous gimmicks include Zaris Amala, Kuroi Jujishushi, or the Black Wizard in Japan. Let's see, what else? Wild Man from the Sudan, Madman from the Sudan, Blade Bordeaux. Ironically enough, the last gimmick listed, simply one name, Abby.
Abby.
Probably Abby Normal. Yeah. Favorite move, it says dropkick, believe it or not, because he was a very, very heavy man.
Heavy man.
Notable feuds, the Sheik. I don't believe this, the Iron Sheik. That's probably an original 1950s Sheik.
Yeah.
Buddy Rogers, Bobo Brazil. Let's see if there's anything. Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes.
Mm. Ooh, love Dusty Rhodes.
The Iron Sheik, Cactus Jack, and Sabu.
Cactus Jack.
Let's see what he's up to. January 13th, 2007. Holy Christ.
What?
The man is still wrestling.
What?
At 70 years old?
Brew City Wrestling, Abdullah the Butcher versus Dinty Moore ended in a no contest. And if you can believe this, October 14th, 2006, that was when he was 70 years of age. NWA Championship Wrestling, Abdullah and Nemesis beat Tank and Iceberg in a no DQ Trojan Death match.
That's insane. Oh, you look at him and gosh, his forehead's all fucked up.
Well, yeah, that's from years of what they call juicing.
Juicing.
Thinly cut your head with the razor, and then you take a slight punch to the head, and it opens up as if you took a real punch to the head.
Oh, man.
And
poor guy.
It hurts when you're bald because you can see the juice lines.
And his forehead is just scars. You look at him wrong, and it changes.
Yeah, he's not an attractive man. But
in Japan.
I hope Randy Orton's listening.
Great Sasuke. The great Sasuke. Oh, man. He's actually one of, he got voted into one of Japan's, basically their version of Congress, and he still wears the mask, and they don't call him by his real name. When he comes up, it is the great Sasuke has something to say about his district, and he'll go up, mask and all, suit, and he'll put it down.
Ha!
They've got it. They've got one of his, you know, speeches on YouTube, and I gotta refine it, but God, it is hilarious that a pro wrestler in Japan can be voted for the diet.
Well, was this before or after Jesse Ventura became governor of Minnesota?
Afterwards, but however, in Mexico, lots of the Lucha Libre wear their masks for life.
It's their lot in life.
It's their lot in life, and that is what they are. So even when they go to the to grocery store to buy, you know, an apple or a banana, they will.
Or
they
a will, banana.
They will
not
go.
Both.
They can't buy both. They can't buy both at the same time.
That also is their lot in life. They will, one piece of fruit at a time.
The poor.
Do you want to build a fruit salad? 4 days. 4 days.
Okay, well, on your little site, see what Leap and Lanny Poffo's doing.
Actually, I can tell you.
Leap and Lanny?
I can tell you.
The guy who would read the poetry.
I can tell you some crazy trivia about Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Well, enlighten us.
Lanny Poffo is his real name.
Really?
His brother, however, a much more popular wrestler, adopted a different name.
What?
Randy Savage.
Oh,
you're shitting me.
Randy Savage is Lanny Poffo's brother. They are both the son of Angelo Poffo, who was featured in Ripley's Believe It or Not for being the man who could do the most sit-ups in an hour or whatever.
Wow.
Or whatever.
Yes, I'll look it up. But that there's a little thing to whet your appetite.
Well, thanks.
Well, no wonder he's.
And oh, by the way, Miss Elizabeth was a crack whore and is now dead.
I know she's dead.
Miss Elizabeth.
And Benoit.
She was so pretty.
She was pretty.
Poor Benoit.
Okay, here we go. Leaping Lanny Poffo, real name Lanny Mark Poffo, born in 1954, is from Downers Grove, Illinois. Is 6'0", 228 pounds. 1973, he made his debut. He was Leaping Lanny Poffo and also later The Genius.
Yeah, that's right, The Genius.
And then he changed into the poet or whatever it was.
Lanny Poffo is the brother of Randy Macho Man Savage or Macho Madness Savage.
Oh,
Randy Macho Madness.
You're so out of the loop. I'm so sorry.
And the son of Angelo Poffo. Lanny Poffo was a major star in his father's promotion in Lexington known as International Championship Wrestling. Of course, he came to the WWF in the mid-80s. 1988. Lanny Poffo self-published a 172-page book of his poetry, titled Wrestling with Rhyme. He did write the stupid poetry.
God, he sucked.
He's working on a book of anti-smoking limericks for the American Heart Association, currently. I'm not kidding, he is.
Well, I believe you. I find it funny that they would go...
To him.
To him.
Let's see.
Poet Laureate of Texas.
Yeah, last... last entry, August 13th, 2005, Ballpark Brawl, Jimmy T, who is a local DJ, and Kamala. You remember Kamala?
I remember Kamala.
The Ugandan Giant defeated Jimmy Hart and Lanny Poffo.
Jimmy Hart.
So still wrestling. There is a gallery. I believe he's gotten extremely fat.
Well, he looked like he could run to fat, so.
Yeah.
So, Colin.
Yeah?
Not much to say in this one, is there?
No. Not
sadly,
really.
You're not. You're probably. You probably consider yourself to be a little bit more highbrow in this case.
Well, not so much that. I just never took an interest. I mean, the closest I ever got was when I was stationed in Texas. One of my friends was really into the wrestling, and we'd go watch it since there was nothing else to do in Texas.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's about it.
Who is your favorite wrestler?
Undertaker.
Undertaker!
Ooh, we love the Undertaker.
Everybody loves the Undertaker and his manager, Paul Bearer.
I didn't like his manager.
I miss Paul Bearer.
Oh, and Paul has gotten fat. Oh, my God.
Well, please, he was a pale tubby fella before that. So yeah. Let's see. The Undertaker / American Badass.
Still wrestling. On SmackDown.
I just saw him on the cover of a magazine the other day.
Okay, Wrestler The Undertaker. Real name. Real name, Mark Calloway.
You betcha.
Birth date, 1962. 6'10" tall. Jeez. 325 pounds of spring steel and rawhide. Let's see.
Married to Sarah, whose name he has.
Married to Sarah, yes. Debut 1988.
Tattooed on his neck.
Previous gimmicks. Yeah. Previous gimmicks. Texas Red, probably his first. The Punisher. Yeah. Master of Pain. And Mean Mark Callis. Not nice Mark Callis. That was a different wrestler. His finishing move, the Heart Punch. Or the Last Ride Tower Power Bomb or the Tombstone Pile Driver.
Well, while you have it up, Jake the Snake Roberts.
I will tell you here shortly because he is one of my all-time favorites, but I do want to check and see the last entry on The Undertaker, although we know that he is still a major star.
Yeah. And look up Ricky Steamboat, too.
Shush, yes, I know.
Oh, yeah. The Dragon. April,
okay,
oh,
the most God. Recent. The most recent entry, April 1st, 2007. And this should make you feel old, Heather. WrestleMania 23.
Oh, jeez.
I was around for WrestleMania 1 and 2, and now it's WrestleMania 23. The Undertaker defeated Batista to capture the World Heavyweight title. The Undertaker is the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yay!
Batista is an excellent wrestler. He's just awesome.
I have no idea who he is.
He's awesomeness incarnate.
he's a huge motherfucker. He's so big, I think he's one of those guys who would be the few who would be able to power slam.
See, this is the problem. This was the problem with my wanting to be a pro wrestler. I am 5'9" tall. Granted, I am 255 pounds, but I'm only 5'9". And therefore, I could have been a professional wrestler back in Bobby Heenan's day, but not in the day of The Undertaker. You've seen my pictures on my website standing next to Penn Jillette. He's 6'6". I can't go against The Undertaker. I would die.
Your wrestling name could be The Morsel.
The Morsel.
The Morsel. Cannon fodder.
Gosh, I like that, Colin.
Good.
I want to be the Masked Morsel. Can I please be the Masked Morsel?
Yes, you can. The Masked Morsel.
That's great.
Okay, Jake.
Come out wearing peanuts.
Jake the Snake Roberts. Hey, here's something. His real name is Aurelian Smith Jr.
Wow.
Aurelian.
So more than one person saw fit to name their child Aurelian.
In a row.
He is from Stone Mountain, Georgia. That was not a lie. He is divorced, but is now married to Judy Smith Jr. He's actually a very imposing man, 6'5" tall, 267 pounds.
Wow.
He was blah, 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 blah. Debuted May 13th, 1975. His previous gimmicks were Jake Smith Jr. So apparently he liked the name Jake much better than Aurelian.
Well, I would.
Of course, his finishing move was the notorious...
Oh, God, I don't remember.
The DDT.
The DDT, that's right.
The DDT. And let's see what the last entry is. You know, you can get Jake the Snake Roberts t-shirts at Stephen Barry's.
Really?
Yeah, more than one version.
Wow.
And, yeah, I know.
Why don't they have Bret Hart t-shirts?
They might. They've got a lot of wrestling-themed t-shirts.
I'm amazed at how much he popped back from having a stroke. I mean, he looks really
good.
Yeah,
he looked pale as chalk last time I'd seen him on TV. Yeah. Well, I was like, oh, my God.
The last entry here is February 15th, 2007, the UWA, which is Independent Wrestling. Jake Roberts and Ricky Morton.
Oh, Ricky Morton.
From the Rock and Roll Express.
God,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
And Bobby Race defeated Jeff Anderson in Heat Seekers Volume 2. So whoever the fuck that is.
Wow.
So you wanted me to look up Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Yes, yeah. Please.
This is a funny thing because Heather liked Ricky the Dragon Steamboat so much that she taped her wrists with electrical tape to look like him.
I did.
Oh, God. That hurt coming off, didn't it?
I don't remember. It might have... It might have just fallen off electrical when I got in the shower.
You know what's funny? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat has a better real name than a wrestling name.
Really?
His real name is Richard Blood. Of course, Dick Blood is not a really great name.
Dick Blood has hit the mat.
Several
times. It's first blood. It's number one.
That's right. He was born in 1953 in Honolulu, Hawaii. He is married and has a son named, oh my God, Richard. So Dick Blood Jr. he is a paltry 5'10" tall, 235 pounds.
There
made his
go.
Debut when I was merely 2 years old in 1976. His previous gimmicks, Dick Blood. He used Dick Blood as his wrestling name.
Oh my God.
In the old AWA, he was also Sam Steamboat Jr. and then the Dragon. Of course, his finishing move was the flying body press, which we used to practice out in the backyard, my buddies and I, and always fail. Always, it was a miserable hit the ground with a thud failure and can't catch your breath. Let's see. Last entry for Ricky Steamboat. Holy shit!
Is he still wrestling too? Or is he dead?
Well, in March of 2007, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat did reach a deal with his ex-wife to own outright the rights to his name.
Well, good for him.
And it says, April 1st, 2007, WrestleMania 23, Mike IRS Rotundo made a brief cameo during a backstage dance party started by Crime Time. So, it doesn't say that IRS Rotundo is Ricky Steamboat. Because I... Okay, that just makes any sense. But, oh, apparently he's doing interviews now for the wrestling promotions. He's an interviewer. He's the Gene Okerlund now.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes. I know. Pause.
I was smiling.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, do you have a favorite wrestler?
I already told you Hulk Hogan, and I like Batista.
Who the hell? Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan's nobody's favorite wrestler. He is not a real American. He does not fight for the rights of every man.
He was Ronda's favorite wrestler.
My mother loved him. My mother still loves him for telling the kids to always say their prayers.
Plus, without him, there wouldn't be Hulkamaniacs.
Hulkamania wouldn't have existed. We saw Hulk Hogan wrestle the Magnificent Morocco at the Denver Auditorium Arena. And they both disappeared for several minutes under the ring while they really tried to get their heads to bleed. And then they came back out. And it's like, oh, that wasn't obvious. I remember years ago, my sister and I, that you over there.
That's me.
We spent several weeks with my grandparents, 1986, I think 85. It was. 85. And, of course, I had to watch wrestling. You know, I had to watch wrestling. My grandmother hated it. She's like, why is it they can kick each other in the face and not bleed? And I said, because they wear special boots. I don't know.
SpongeBottom boots.
Please, I did not want to admit that it was fake. I did not want to believe that it was fake. It was real. It was always real to me as a child. But now, I'm sorry, I can see. I see now that it's merely a facade.
But they're getting so much more physical now.
They're certainly huge.
Smack each other now.
Well, but the thing is, it's also becoming so much more legitimate that you get people that have played in the NFL or were really serious college football stars or, you know, very serious, you know, known celebrities for being athletes who are turning to professional wrestling because it's something that they can do.
The wrestler who won the gold medal twice.
Kurt Angle,
yeah. Went from amateur wrestling to professional
wrestling. And he's an excellent pro wrestler. He's very good. He's kept a lot of the old school wrestling moves, whereas the new guys are trying to go up on the ropes higher,
do acrobatic flips,
you know, and everything.
Yes.
Whereas he's more technical.
But it's still scripted, Justin. I want you to know that.
It's scripted.
Yes, that's what I said. It's still scripted.
Yeah, it's...
It's still scripted. It's fake.
It's real.
Have you ever heard...
It's just scripted.
It's real fake.
The blows are all scripted. They pull some of their punches, but some of the punches
are still extremely demanding physically.
Yes.
I can tell you specifically that I believe it's the two British Bulldogs, the Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith. Yep. One of them's dead.
Davey Boy Smith.
And the other one is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And this is because they did all the steroids and abused the shit out of their bodies.
Yeah.
And they were the acrobatic. They were small, they were compact, they were acrobatic, and now one of them's dead and one of them will never walk again.
Well, and
that is the toll that it takes on you. That it took on them, all these wrestlers. And that's why I'm surprised that Abdullah can still wrestle at 71.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's like the Andre the Giant at the end of his career. He was merely a warm body, at best could barely walk around, and that's where it being fake does come into play. You don't actually have to go out and get your ass kicked if you don't want to.
Correct. However.
However, it's real.
You know my favorite wrestlers were? My favorite tag team of all kinds?
It was one.
Seriously? The Insane Clown Posse. Oh, my God.
They were lame.
Come on.
They were so...
It's real stunt work.
It's real stunt work.
It is. It's extremely good.
But I know what you mean by when they say fake. It's just scripted.
Have you ever heard the song by Ray Stevens, The Ballad of the Blue Cyclone?
No.
The Ballad of the Blue Cyclone, for a professional wrestling fan especially, is a fine song to track down. It's 7 minutes long, and it goes over Ray Stevens. His wife leaves town, and so he's alone for a while, and his buddy says, let's go to the wrestling matches. He's never been. He goes to the local promotion wrestling match down south, sees the Blue Cyclone. His buddy gets drunk, throws a chair in the ring. The Blue Cyclone chases him out into the parking lot and kicks his ass. So he's recovering in the hospital, and he's thinking, you know, I could have taken him if I hadn't been drinking. And so he goes after him again, and he gets his ass kicked again. And one of the lines in the song is, now tell me then how all that wrestling's fake. But it's if you like pro wrestling, listen to The Ballad of the Blue Cyclone by Ray Stevens. It's extremely enjoyable, and it's about where we're going to have to end this.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. Talking about wrestling gets you all misty and nostalgic,
well,
doesn't it?
Well, no, I was just going to mention that Coco Beware stole your finishing move.
Coco Beware.
Yeah, because I was going to be a pro wrestler, and so I figured I'd better start figuring out what I was going to do, and I had the perfect finishing move, something I had never seen before, the world had never seen before. And then I was watching wrestling one day, as I was wont to do, this short little fat black fellow with a parrot pooping on his shoulder, comes in, and I'm thinking, oh, this guy's lame. And he's got my finishing move. What the hell?
What was the finishing move?
The finishing move was a hybrid suplex pile driver. You know the suplex, right?
Yep.
Yes, the for a front headlock, grab the fella's shorts, lift them straight up in the air, but instead of bringing them down on the back, no, bring them down on their head and break their neck! I figured that was the best finishing move ever. Coco Beware stole it.
And therefore ended your wrestling career.
Ended my potential wrestling career before it got started.
Do we have time to find out what his career did?
Ah, Coco Beware, a fine way to end this podcast. Let's find out exactly what kind of a loser Coco Beware turned out to be.
He's probably mayor somewhere or something.
When they had the
mayor of Loserville.
When they put out the DVD for Behind the Mat.
Beyond the Mat.
Beyond the Mat. They had a picture of Coco Beware. So hope I think he's
motherfucker
still doing
calls that move promotions. The Ghostbuster. Fuck him. Okay, Birdman Coco Beware, real name James Ware from Union City, Tennessee. He's 5'9". I'm 5'9". He's 229 pounds.
You could have done
it. If I were in better shape, I'd be 229
pounds. Oh, I can't
pounds.
Do it. I'm too short. Yeah, Coco Beware, man.
Not Let's only see. Did he steal your finishing move, he stole your height.
He stole your life, dude.
No, he's in...
He did.
He's in semi-retirement. He is, most recently, February 10th, 2007, the CIW Coco Beware and PJ Flowers defeated Dave DuPont and Mr. Main Event.
Well,
so the fucker's still making a living.
Using
Fuck him.
Your move.
Fuck him.
At your height.
At my height. Jesus. Oh, he's like the Bizarro Derek.
You just let yourself become discouraged too easily.
I did. Yeah, I could have.
You could have been a contender.
I could have been something, right? Could have been something. Anyway, kids, that's about it. I think we've been about as redneck and trailer park trash as we could possibly be on the show. I'm Derek Knight from SetOfCheese.com. It's the Set of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour that you've been hopefully listening to. Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com, as always, joined us.
Goodbye.
My sister Heather from Medded Spam.
Fuck Coco Beware.
Justin Carmichael from Emerald Hierophant at Blogspot.com.
Have a great week, guys.
And Justin's wife, Jennifer Jenny Valentine, the poet.
Bushwhackers forever.
Okay, kids. Who's your favorite wrestler? We'll see you back again next Wednesday.